We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Congressman, during the CNN debate on Tuesday, Bernie Sanders said that Congress doesn't regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress. Is he right?
Well, I think he's absolutely right if his point is that Wall Street has entirely too much influence in Washington, and the special interests that are funded by the biggest, largest corporations in this country, the wealthiest Americans, have a disproportionate amount of influence in Washington. It's only gotten worse as a result of Citizens United, where corporations can spend unlimited amounts of money secretly in our elections. We have got to figure out ways to make sure that the voices of ordinary Americans can actually drown out the voices of big corporate America and not vice versa.
Hillary Clinton has joined you in expressing concerns about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the trade deal known as TPP. She had previously expressed support for this or taken action to support it almost 50 times. Is this not just an act of political opportunism on her part?
Actually, Secretary Clinton answered that question on the debate stage and said that she still hasn't had an opportunity to see the full text. And obviously, she was part of the Obama administration when she made those statements. The point she made, which I really respect, is we want leaders who will actually learn additional information, study things more carefully, and be capable of saying, you know, I've rethought this, I've changed my mind. So what I think really matters is that Secretary Clinton has come out strongly against TPP. I think it's bad for American workers, bad for American jobs. It puts American manufacturers at a competitive disadvantage because it doesn't include protections against currency manipulation or really good enforceable environmental and labor standards.
Let's go to Scott.
International trade's a good thing, and if we can interlink our economies with other countries, it leads to peace. And look at the high-tech industries. There's a lot of the new industries that are very much in favor of TPP, the kind of industries that Rhode Island should want more of.
We should absolutely have trade. Trade's important to our local economy. It's important to our national economy. But we have to have the right trade deals. It has to be fair. It has to be sure that it has environmental standards, has labor standards, it has currency manipulation provisions, so that you're actually leveling the playing field. If you don't have protection against countries manipulating their currency, trade agreements are meaningless. And so what I don't want to do is have a trade agreement that's not enforceable or that actually puts American jobs and American workers at a disadvantage. And I think that's what TPP does.
What do we do with Syria? It seems to be a huge, huge frittata there. Is it smart to have a no-fly zone? Would you support that?
The administration has not articulated a very clear policy in Syria. And in part, it's because it may be that there's not a really easy answer, obviously. It's really complicated by new activity by the Russians in coordination with Iraq and even Iran about the kind of conflict between, obviously, the Syrian rebels, ISIS, and Assad. The problem with a no-fly zone, though, it has some appeal. Once you put in a no-fly zone, you have to defend a no-fly zone. And so you create a set of conditions in which there are potentials for conflict with Russian forces, and you are beginning that process to get back into a civil war. I think what we have to do, and I've been pressing the administration, is to ask for an authorization to use military force to really force the administration to articulate their strategy.
A war powers resolution.
That's right. Articulate their strategy in Syria, have a real debate, and persuade the American people that it's the right thing to do. And I think that's what's missing right now.
Back in 2012, when you were running for re-election, you apologized for not having been more forthcoming about Providence's fiscal problems when you left City Hall as mayor in about 2010. We see how Providence still has financial problems. The deficit for the most recent fiscal year is pegged at more than $5 million. Is there any way for Providence to move past these kind of year-to-year deficits? And if so, how should it do that?
Well, I think very importantly that the state and, certainly under Governor Chavin, I know under Governor Raimondo, kind of began to develop state budgets that understood the health of cities and towns mattered to the health of Rhode Island's economy. And so a lot of the cuts that were made to municipalities were restored to cities and towns, which I think has really made a difference. I don't know in the particular case of Providence the numbers, but there was a substantial restoration of that. But, it's a challenge. Look, we're still recovering from a very deep recession in Rhode Island. Even though we've made progress, we still lag behind many of the New England states. So I think, this requires us all to work together, the local level, the state level, the federal delegation, to figure out how do we get this economy back on track? How do we get people back to work? Those are the kinds of things. And again, bring as many federal resources to Rhode Island as we can. But these are challenges because municipalities face a whole host of increased costs over time, and trying to figure out how you get more done with less resources is a challenge, I think, of every city.
We're talking here with Congressman David Cicilline, and now back to Scott.
Congressman, I'm wondering, actually, about what's going to happen in Washington. Is there a possibility that the Republicans' inability to elect a speaker and to govern just leaves chaos and has an unpredictable U.S. House until the voters speak in November. I mean, well, what's going
to
happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's already having an adverse impact on our ability to move this country forward. I don't think it can go on too long. I think they've got to identify a speaker because this sort of uncertainty is bad for the it's bad for the country. It's bad for the economy. It's bad in terms of giving people confidence that their national government is functioning. But the real danger is going to be on December 11th because, you know, Speaker Boehner resigned in part to prevent a government shutdown. The Republicans were committed to shutting down the government unless Planned Parenthood was defunded. That was made very clear. And in order to avoid that, another shutdown under his tenure, he offered his resignation. And as a result, we didn't have a shutdown, but it only funding was only continued to December 11th. December 11th comes, there's not another kind of head to put on the spike for the Republicans. Speaker Boehner is going to be gone. Unless we're going to go through the cycle of every few months having the speaker resign because they refuse to agree to the terms of this Freedom Caucus, this is a problem. So we need a leader in the Congress that's going to be willing to stand up to these folks that are just interested in obstructing and shutting down the government and want to work with Democrats to get things done for the American people.
I want to ask you about 38 Studios. You're a former state representative, and there's still fierce debate about how to respond to 38 Studios, whether there should be an outside investigation. As a Rhode Islander, do you think there should be an outside investigation?
Well, I think it is absolutely critical that Rhode Islanders get all the information that they deserve and to understand how this happened and to make sure it never happens again. I know there's a review being done by the Attorney General. I think both the Speaker and the Senate President have indicated they intend to do a review. I think, look, the voters, the residents of Rhode Island, the taxpayers of Rhode Island deserve to know exactly what happened and to be sure that steps are taken to make sure this never happens again. This is a tremendously costly event for our state and for the taxpayers of Rhode Island.
So is that a yes for an outside investigation?
When you outside, you mean, I think there is currently an investigation by the Attorney General. You're talking about someone in addition to the Attorney General?
Yes.
I think the Attorney General's office is charged with this responsibility. There's nothing that I've read to indicate that he's not capable of doing that work. I think there will be legislative hearings, which I think makes sense. But I think getting to the bottom of it is really, really important. This is really broken the confidence of the public in many, many important ways.
It's no knock on Attorney General Peter Kilmartin, but he was a state rep for 20 years, and there's some people who question whether an outside probe with no connection to lawmakers past or present would be better for the public interest.
I mean, I think the Attorney General takes his responsibilities seriously, and I don't have any reason to believe he won't conduct this review in a completely professional way. And I think if he determined that for some reason he couldn't do that, that he would request the appointment of a special prosecutor or something. I think it's a function of the Attorney General, and it probably makes sense that he do it.
Not to jump on anyone's grave here, Congressman, but you were a very close ally and friend of Gordon Fox. Were you surprised at the revelations that have come out about his role in 38 Studios and the other corruption?
I think the statement I issued when I learned of this captured my sentiments. I said it was a shocking betrayal of the public trust, and shocking is the word I used on purpose.
And Gordon Fox was on stage with you at Roger Williams Park when you won the Providence mayoral primary in 2002. He was, I believe he was with you at an East Side restaurant when you won your reelection campaign in 2012. I'm just curious, when was the last time you spoke to Gordon Fox?
Quite a long time ago. You know, before his case was filed. I haven't talked to him since then. He was a friend of mine for a very long time, but obviously I expressed my shock and disappointment at what happened.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Congressman David Cicilline.
Thank you for having me.